Coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
There were really hard times. I remember being really upset about cheese. You know, it tastes different. I feel like nothing I cooked could just be quite right.
You never quite think about cheese being a block to the gospel reaching the ends of the earth.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Taking the liberating power of God's good news and His compassionate heart to the four corners of the globe. This is the radio journal that tells of the new ways it's happening. We're glad you've joined us today. Married couples working together in ministry. It's a dynamic thing to see. Norm and Cher Nelson were quite the unstoppable dynamic duo, and our own Bram and Sandy Floria are actively taking up that mantle. Well, you can add today's very special pair of couples to that list as well. Hello and welcome to this brand new edition of Compassion Radio. Hope you can stick with us for the next 25 minutes on this, the fifth day of December, rapidly winding down 2017 at warp speed. Here's our president and speaker, Bram Floria, to make introductions.
Around the table with me for Compassion Radio's program today is a marvelous couple of couples. In fact, they share a name practically because of the mission work they've been doing together for the past few years in the country of Romania. I want to welcome the Georgie Bells. Separate that one out to Brandon and Becky George. Hi, folks. Welcome to Compassion Radio.
Hi, Graham.
And we have the E-Bells. We have Paul and Jessica.
Hi.
Glad to be here.
Now, you really, truly are joined at the hip when it comes to missions. And we, as a church, sent you out from here in Texas to a whole new life in the country of Romania. So first of all, if the two of you couples can explain a bit how God inspired you both to go, we'll talk about what's happened since after we get to the basics of how God does the calling. Tell me a little bit about your experience of knowing that God was saying, we together as families are going to make this thing happen in this country, Romania.
I think it started about in 2013. We took an internship with an organization in Romania where we got to work with orphans.
You and I. Brandon and Becky George took a trip to Romania.
Yes, and we felt the Lord calling us there. We've been preparing for a long time, and we finally got to a point where we were debt-free, and we just had a few talks and said, okay, if this call to missions is real, let's explore it. So we quit our jobs, and we went on the mission field for 3 months, interning, working with orphans and different youth in the Bucharest area, and we came back, and we loved our experience there. We loved getting to work with that organization, Heart to Heart International, and we were excited to see where God had us after that. So we came back from the three-month internship, and that's kind of where we met the E-Bells.
Well, we were actually, we all went to the same high school, different years, weren't quite a friend group yet, but Paul and Jessica started coming to Fellowship Church, and their oldest son was in our three-year-old class, and so we recognized each other from school, but hadn't quite caught up yet. And we ended up being in the same life group, and we started building friendships right before Brandon and I left. And so we kind of were unsure where the friendship was going to go. Were we going to stay in Romania? Would we ever come back and see them? Who knew? But when we came back, it just picked up right back where it was.
And of course, like a lot of churches, these life groups here at Fellowship Church, you do real life together. You know, we're not just talking about coming to learn something or play church. You start doing stuff. God starts calling you together to do things locally, internationally, short-term missions. So your whole worldview is expanding at the same time that your friendships are expanding between your families. I'm going to pivot now to the E-Bells about how God started that fire in you. So the Georges say they're becoming friends. They're getting called separately. How did the flame start burning in you guys?
We felt like we were also called separately, individually called out by God into missions, and we were doing the same. We were just exploring that call. We were talking about going to Mongolia. We were praying about that, researching that, and striving towards that, and God really opened our hearts to be willing to go to the ends of the earth for the sake of the gospel. So we were exploring that call, and then the Georges came back from Romania. Like Becky was saying, we picked right back up where we left off with them, and We were both just excited about what God was doing in our families and didn't realize what God had in store for us in the future quite yet, of course.
So we started just doing a lot of things together. We related well together because we were both interested in missions, even though we weren't seeing the way that God was putting us together. We were both just related well to each other, and we're spending a lot of time together. And we started to feel that God was showing us this is more than just the regular, everyday friendship. He's calling us together to be formed into something and to do missions together.
Let's take a step back for 1 minute. Missions can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. And you were raised in a very missional church. They challenge you to think missionally about everything. So when you decided to step out and say, missions might be what God's really calling us to, our families, and jointly our families together in a team, what did missions mean to each of your families? We'll start with the Ebels.
It really meant for us being willing to go, like I was saying, to the ends of the earth for the sake of the gospel. Also being willing to lay down not only our lives, but the lives of our children, saying, Lord, we trust you, and really having to mean that we would be willing to go wherever God would send us. A lot of that was what took the time and the prayer and the fasting, was figuring out where God would send our two families, where could we be most useful to bringing the gospel into the kingdom around the world. And that's what took us the most time, but to think missionally for us as a family with children. We really had to not only lay ourselves down and say, Lord, use us as you will, but also be willing to say, use our entire family. Because when we talk about being in missions as a family, we say that we are all missionaries. When we go talk to Awanas here in town, or we are just at home praying at the end of the day together as a family, we'll encourage one another and say, who's a missionary? All the kids will raise their hand. I am.
I think there's a big shift happening in our generation between the idea of vocational missions, where parents would take a job and be hired by a missions agency to go, and the kids are along for the ride, to thinking missionally about God's calling on your family. Now, Jessica, you're at the pivot point because you are the one that has the children in this group, and you've got double duty in that regard because you're actually building a family. How many kids do we have now?
We are now at 4 kids.
At 4 kids, and some of them appearing since the time on the field as well, right?
Yes.
So it's a miracle. Now, it's great to be raising kids in the kingdom, and you are very much starting with the kingdom and working backwards. We're not just American kids going abroad. They are starting as kingdom-minded children because you're all on mission together. And you, as Georgians, haven't started your children's part of your family yet. So you have to split responsibilities and things as a mission team to youth of Romania a little bit differently. You parcel the jobs out differently. So let's jump now to what it's like to actually making the transition to going to a foreign country and planting your flag and saying, we're going to try to live together, we're going to grow together, we're going to figure out how we actually fit together and where we rub each other raw, and how to find the best way of being effective in the kingdom ministry that you've jumped into. So tell me some stories about what it was like to start being missionaries in Romania.
Well, you know, we had gotten used to living together here, working together here. Jessica and I watched kids together as our job while we were in the U.S., and Brandon and Paul worked together at an electrical supply place. So we had experience working together, living together, but going to Romania, you just don't know what's going to happen when you're away from home, away from your comforts, away from everything that you know. I mean, obviously we're comfortable with each other as a family, as friends, but there were really hard times right in the beginning. Our first year we spent doing language learning and culture learning, not quite starting the ministry yet, and it was hard times. I remember being really upset about cheese. You know, it tastes different. I feel like nothing I cooked could just be quite right, quite how I was wanting it. And there were hard times, but we had a lot of support from our church, just helping us work through difficulties, frustrations of this person does this, and oh, I did this, and just trying to help us continue to relate well to get through the hard time.
You never quite think about cheese being a block to the gospel of reaching the ends of the earth, but it is about us getting beyond ourselves and realizing how much of us is tied up in our own material culture.
Mm-hmm.
And you look for analogs from time to time, right? Well, chocolate may not taste quite the same, but it's like this, so maybe something that's familiar to us. There are comfort foods, there are comfort experiences, or even textures, or things like that we feel very much at home in. And suddenly those are stripped away. You don't realize how much of your experience in life they really are.
Yes.
Exactly. So how... Give me some examples of that from the Ebel family.
Well, definitely those golden arches are a beautiful sight to family with small children. And thankfully, about an hour and a half away, depending on weather and traffic and things, we're able to get that taste of quote-unquote home here in the U.S. It's not quite the same, but at least there's the image that we can always just feel that reprieve of, wow, at least there's McDonald's, at least there's KFC. It's at least a symbol that is recognizable.
And when you're getting used to being in a foreign culture, for a while it's very, very foreign. Of course, the objective is eventually to get to the place where it's no longer foreign. That is someplace you are familiar with, and beyond the familiarity, that it becomes home.
Gonna sneak in here for just a moment, and we'll get right back to the program. But first, here's a word from Bram's wife, Sandy Floria, on the season of Advent.
Hi, this is Sandy Floria. As we move into the Advent season and the celebration of Christ's birth, we pause to reflect on the past year. This year, I have been reminded of the generosity of so many of you, our Compassion Radio partners. Thank you for your notes and emails of encouragement and prayer support for this ministry as we've gone through so much transition this year. Your words of support and prayer have been encouraging to us. They've encouraged us to move forward with our mission of bringing stories of hope and God's work from around the world. Compassion Radio does just that, and you've partnered with us throughout this year. It's been a blessing to us, to our family, and to the ministry. And now, as we look toward the new year, we want you to know we value your partnership more than ever. We are committed to bring you the stories of God's work around the world, but we can't do it without you. Would you consider continuing that partnership with us throughout the next year? Please prayerfully consider a generous gift for the ongoing ministry of Compassion Radio. Thank you, and may God bless you this holiday season.
You can reach us by phone at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or on the World Wide Web at CompassionRadio.com. In fact, our website recently underwent a whole new reboot. So check it out when you get a minute. We'd love to get your feedback. CompassionRadio.com. Let's get back now to the interview.
By the way, which of our kids do we have with us in the room today?
This is Sayla. This is her first time in the U.S. She's 9 months old. And yeah.
Awesome. And she's a sweetheart. She's very relaxed. I remember all those adventurous, bouncy seat years my kids had, too. And she's in quite the contraption over there.
Yes.
Like endless wonders in that one chair. Now, you're raising these kids, and they, of course, they become the majority of your responsibilities, Jessica, during the day have to do with these children.
Yes.
But they also, as you were explaining to the church the last couple of weeks, have become the entry point for ministries and other families in the area because you made an important strategic choice about your children this past year. What did you decide to do with your kids?
Well, this year we just really prayed about it, but God led us to put our children, the three oldest ones, in the public school system. And so our goal is for them to learn Romanian language better and the culture. And through them doing that, I also get to experience much more of the culture and just being able to say hello to every mother that has kids their age or grandmother or anybody that we pass.
And there's probably no better way to connect with somebody cross-culturally and then become more enculturated than to spend time with children and learn literally from them because they're absorbing everything, but they're also giving off so much. I mean, their experience is all over the room, right? A child doesn't know how not to inhabit the entire place they're in and fill it. So you guys are focused also on youth, which is like taking expression and responsibility and opportunity to a whole new level. It's like the nth degree of energy required for youth, no matter where you do youth ministry.
Right.
But in a country like Romania, it's coming out of generations of deep spiritual oppression. and real true evil that was institutionalized in the disposal of children, ripping apart families. Just a very dark time throughout the past 100 years that the country's gone through.
Yes.
And now it's emerging from that in some ways, but it's also, the pall's still there. It kind of hangs over people's expectations of what real freedom can be. You all were explaining to me over time here, especially you, Paul, about the degrees of positivity versus the degrees of negativity. That when you come from a positive, I can do anything because I'm an American attitude, you're born to this entitlement of opportunity. Then going to a country where there's only an entitlement to misery. You're entitled to all the misery you want, but opportunities for advancement or change or positive things are very, very small. In fact, they're probably not for you. That's where the baseline is of the culture. So explain to me then about when you deal with youth, from young people, say junior high up is where you're focused mostly, and a lot of teenagers. How do you introduce a whole new ethic, a whole new paradigm of what it means to be in Christ, to be full of opportunity and blessing and identity that these kids have never, ever experienced before?
Yeah, I think that a major thing we try and emphasize is Christ's love for them, what kind of life they can have through Jesus Christ, where the church is still many first-generation Christians, where they don't have this grandparents and parents that have been grown up in the faith. We're able to emphasize who Christ can be to them and how he can grow them and get them away from a past that is marked with oppression or marked with stunted growth and how they can succeed as people in the Lord. And so we really emphasize their relationship with Christ as that freeing salvation to a better life and a better afterlife.
So then the fair question is, are you just trying to create more American Christians?
That's actually why we spent the first year not as leaders within the ministry. We didn't want to go in with preconceived notions of how this ministry should work, but spending a year and even more time in the past praying about how we can bring the gospel to Romanians. And I think it's been very beneficial. I think God has blessed that time, that year of observing their culture, observing and studying the language, and observing even more specifically the community of Dragonești Olt in southern Romania where we're at, to not bring a version that would be suited towards any youth or even American youth, but bringing a version of the gospel, not altering truth or anything, but that is going to hit the hearts of the Romanian youth that were around. And so, yeah, that was a prayer for us for a long time, to fight against bringing an American version of what we've known to their youth in Romania.
And another benefit is that we work with a Romanian church plant.
Yeah, I would say that's an important distinctive. Mm-hmm. You're not just a parachurch or outside ministry coming in blind or completely without roots. You are rooting yourself into a local ministry. So tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah. So originally, when we were looking for organizations or people to go with to serve in Romania, the four of us together, we originally were looking for just organizations, kind of those parachurch organizations. It never really occurred to me to look for an actual church that was already planted there. But God, through amazing ways, even just through an online forum, we came across Hope Church Romania. And I am really thankful for the way that has turned out, because, one, it helped us really get into the culture more than we could if we had just gone under an American organization. It also helped us. They're already an established church. They just were looking for youth workers. Mm-hmm. So there was kind of already a structure. They have some leadership. They have ministry going on. So we were able to observe and see how we fit into that. And it just was nice to have we have Romanians working with us that also give input.
Exactly.
Sometimes
yeah.
Maybe we don't know how to deal with all of the input, but we're glad to have a big team working with us.
And you make the team much bigger by being there. You literally have multiplied the amount of workers that are focused on any generation other than the mothers and fathers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you are doing something that's very evangelical in a country that is not traditionally evangelical. In fact, any practices that most of the evangelical denominations here in the U.S. or the West in general would do, like baptisms, doing youth ministry outreach, or things that are culturally in context, stuff like that, are not just foreign to the culture of Romania, they're considered cultic because there's a deeply embedded traditionalism within the Orthodox Church that did reach Romania back about 500 or 600 AD and goes back to the roots of the first apostles that came through and spread the gospel. But it locked down, it kind of fossilized over 1,000 years. And you're finding that there's not been a lot of room culturally for those practices. In fact, it's considered a major breakout, like you're forsaking your entire culture to step into this new lively kind of faith living, which we don't get that back in the West. We think it's just another brand of Christianity or a way of expressing yourself. There, it's dramatically different. So explain that a bit.
We are actually called repenters when we entered into the Romanian village of Dragonești-Olten. Into our ears, that sounds actually amazing. Yes, yeah. Of course, we were repenters. We follow Jesus Christ. But there, it's a derogatory term. That means separated. That means separated from the Orthodox faith. And for them, that is a huge step. And so people, the youth that come into our program, which is called Catalyst, we meet every Wednesday. And for them to even take that step or to step into the church on Sunday, the Baptist church that we are a part of, really means it. The beginning or a separation from the Orthodox faith. And some of the youth right now that we're meeting with and praying with and ministering to, if they take that step, if they become baptized, then they could be kicked out of their houses. Their parents are threatening physical harm to them. There's a lot of turmoil within the family because a lot of the Orthodox faith also relies on an afterlife journey. And so if your children are abandoning the Orthodox faith to become a repenter, then there's this pressure that no one's going to be praying for you in the afterlife and these different things. So there's all these residual effects that there's a lot of fear in the Orthodox faith for people coming over to. But
a lot of deep mysticism that things that are important to salvation external to you aren't going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
So there is that concern, not just culturally, but literally spiritually, that there's a fear that you're literally cutting yourself out of the heaven that I've always known.
Exactly. Yep.
That's tough. Yes. Now, of course, I've been witness to a number of places, like in Ukraine and other parts of Eastern Europe, where there's, for the first time in 1,000 years, a rapprochement. There's been actually a detente, if you want to call it that, and then actual meetings between evangelicals and the Orthodox Church, realizing there's something here. There's Jesus at the bottom of this. Let's find him.
Exactly.
And that kind of renewal, that kind of coming together in the table of peace, is a miracle in itself. I mean, people literally in the Maidan of Ukraine prayed on the Maidan during the revolution together on stage for the first time in 1,000 years. That's a big transformation.
Oh, yeah.
So I do believe that those kind of transformations and grouping together of Christ's church, his real called out believers across cultures, is beginning to domino across these countries.
And I agree. I think that when we go into these homes of the different youth and have home visits with the families, we definitely don't emphasize where we're different, mm-hmm. but we emphasize where we're the same and how our goal is to follow Jesus Christ, is to follow God. And there are a lot of peripheral issues that could be worked out through sanctification in following Jesus Christ, but we try and get them to an area where they could trust us. We're not here to do anything that is going to be harming their family. We're there to speak life into them and to see what Jesus Christ wants for their lives. And it's an exciting thing, and once we can, there are a few families we've been able to get past some of those barriers with and really connect with, and now we see them daily, we see them weekly, to be able to pour into their lives and live life together with them.
Great discussion today, and we will indeed continue with part two of this mini-series on the Hope Church Romania Ministry on tomorrow's Compassion Radio. Now, a brief closing word from our president, Bram Floria.
For more than 20 years, the growth rate of the believing, worshiping church in China has consistently outstripped every plan to provide them Bibles. In fact, 20 to 25,000 new professing believers are added to the faith every day. So that's why during the month of November and December, our Operation God's Word Bibles for China project is our focus and our ministry expression of love and devotion to the church that God is building all around the world. So friends, when you give this month, during this holy season where we celebrate the birth of Jesus, together we're giving to the greatest missionary movement in the history of Christianity. And we're so proud to be your partner and your friend in this outreach. Thank you so much for believing in us all these years and for making it possible for Compassion Radio to continue its work here and around the world.
For your special ministry and project gift this month of $25 or more, we'd love to send you a handcrafted olive wood ornament made by believers in Bethlehem. Ask for it when you call, write, or give online today.
Lastly, I'd like to mention the importance of year-end giving for ministries like ours. We absolutely depend on the above and beyond gifts of partners who make their most important financial and ministry decisions at year's end. We're online 24/7 at CompassionRadio.com. And we'll be available for expanded hours at our toll-free order line, 800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Or online at our new and improved website, CompassionRadio.com. On behalf of Bram Floria, Sharon Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale, and we'll be back with you again next time with more Compassion Radio.